practice today and who won't. So who will not practice? Terrence Brooks, still with that right hamstring strain. Again, it's a week-to-week deal. He won't practice. Nolan Carroll is in the concussion protocol. He will not practice today. And then Jordan Matthews won't practice. He had some back spasms yesterday that flared up on him, so we'll just hold him from today's practice. Should be good for the game, and then everybody else will practice today.
Doug, when you were here the first time as coach, Brandon Graham was kind of still trying to find his way. Well, did he always have that in him, or did he just have to – what did he have to do to get to this level?
I think he just had to work, you know, had to put in the time. You know, he was obviously a top draft pick by the Eagles and you know, sort of struggled, you know, to play and see the field. He was sort of, you know, delegated more towards special teams. You know, he was a special teams contributor. And then the thing is, he just started making plays on special teams. And then it carried over to his confidence, his ability to make plays on defense. And he's definitely a pro's pro, and he's worked at his craft. And love where he's at as a player, love him as a person, and he's playing at a high level today.
Is there any progress with Nolan and the has he moved forward in the concussion rehab protocol?
I can't comment on. He's in the protocol. We'll find out, and I'll find out when he comes out.
Seattle's obviously a really tough place to play. With the amount of false starts and delays of games you guys have had, how important will that aspect of the game be on Sunday?
It's critical going into this stadium. You know, this 12th man, it's real. And you know, the last time that I was up there was with the Eagles a few years back, and it's a loud place. And you know, those things are the things that keep your offense from executing and staying on the field. And this team definitely feeds off of that and tries to get you in those second and long, third and long situations. And, you know, the point of emphasis this week, obviously, is to be able to handle that and minimize those penalties.
Well, very well. Closer with getting those first team reps should, you know, Nolan not be able to go. Is it CJ or Aaron Grimes? Who's kind of ahead there?
From the corner position, it would be more CJ. You know, he's had a little more time there. He'd be the one that would get a little more attention there.
Experience played there.
Well, obviously special teams, as we know, but you know, he you know, played well in preseason. He's a speed guy. He's a guy that plays extremely smart. There's not many throws that get over the top of him. You know, he knows how to play and uses technique, and those are the things that we've seen in practice, even when he's on the service team. Those are the things that have shown up and give him an edge, you know, if he has an opportunity to play.
You played very, very well at home, especially defense getting started fast. On the road, you've had some slow starts and chasing the game in some situations. What have you seen at the beginning of games, what's happening? How do you improve on that when you go out to Seattle?
I think when you're on the road, you try to press just a little bit. You try to get that quick early lead, try to take the crowd out of the game. You know, you maybe do some things a little that are uncharacteristic of what you do at home. And you know, we just can't do that. We got to stick to the game plan. We got to approach it much like a home game and trust you know, trust the players, trust the plan. You know, let the game sort of come to us a little bit, as opposed to trying to make something happen. Even though we talk about that all the time, you know, we got to make plays and all that. That goes without saying, but you can't force them. You know, you just got to let those types of things happen. I think, you know, go back to that Giants game. I think early on we you know, had some quick pressure. Obviously, the two turnovers in that game, you know, and got us down early, you know, in 14-0. But Washington, you go back to Washington, and just a kind of a slow start. You know, we got to handle the crowd noise better. There's quite a few factors that we've got to address and clean up going into these road games.
Practicing in the bubble at all these 2 days to the noise piped in?
We'll go in this week. I'm thinking maybe tomorrow and Friday for the next 2 days, possibly go in and just get used to that noise a little bit.
Is it just a noise factor there? Or, I mean, because a lot of stadiums are loud. And it was loud in Seattle when they were in the dome, too, obviously. Do you have any particular insight on, like, why that atmosphere there is so different? I mean, you grew up in the area, or people just treat the games differently? Or?
I just think, you know, that's a championship caliber football team, and so people are going to support and rally, and, you know, it's a great fan base up there, you know, and they as a kid growing up, I was a part of it. You know, I was a part of the Kingdome, and parents took me to the Seahawk games and growing up doing that. So, you know, I've experienced it firsthand from a fan's perspective, you know, as a kid in high school. But, you know, I can also kind of recall our days in Kansas City when we were having success at home and you know, going for the loudest crowd in the NFL or the world record and all that kind of, and these fans, they're passionate about it and they love it and they take pride in it. And they, you know, when we talk about it, they come out in droves again, you know, so it's a great place. Tough place to play, obviously, the way that stadium is designed and built, that little cover right there, everything's kind of right on top of you. And then it's just it's a great atmosphere.
Brad, who's playing left guard? Who's playing, is it me, Barber?
Left guard. Allen. So switching gears.
No problem. So he's the starter going forward. It's not.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Seattle. I mean, obviously they've been known for their defense for a number of years and stuff. But like, are you finding that they're, you know, giving Russell Wilson like, you know, a lot more to do this year, especially with Marshawn Lynch retiring and all that?
Yeah, and you know, he's to that point of his career where they can begin to do that. You know, he's a veteran player. He's obviously won a bunch of games. He utilizes his personnel well. You know, he was injured earlier in this season, so he may not be running around and using his legs as much, which he still has the ability to extend plays. Obviously, we saw it in the New England game. But he's a smart kid. I mean, he is extremely smart. He's going to know the game plan that they have prepared. He's going to know our defense. You know, it just comes down to execution on our side to effectively, you know, attack and try to disrupt any timing that he might have.
You've seen a number of good tight ends. Where does Jimmy Graham rank, and what sort of challenge is he? And were you at the Bo Jackson, Brian Bosworth game by chance?
I was not at that game, actually. We were on a rotating basis in our family, and I've actually missed that game. But Jimmy Graham is obviously he's big. He's physical. He's probably more of a receiver-type tight end than anything else. He's such a lot like Gronk in a sense. I mean, he's very powerful, basketball player, can jump, he elevates extremely well. He's a target in the red zone, and he can run. I mean, that, you know, from a tight ends, when you look at tight ends, those are the type of, that's the mold you want, you know, when you look at these tight ends. And he does an outstanding job. He's more of a mismatch, even on safeties, even some linebackers. He's definitely a matchup nightmare there. And you know, it takes it's your quarterback's best friend sometimes, you know, having tight ends like that can get open and you can just kind of throw it in a general area and he can go get it.
All the lines of tight ends, it seems like when Ertz is involved like he was the last couple of weeks or in the Cleveland game, it seems like everything runs smoother. The whole offense has more rhythm. Do you sense that? And how important is it to you to kind of keep him as involved as he has been the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think it's important that Zach stays involved, and I got to keep him involved with the play calling. And obviously, between that and the running game last week was critical, you know. And there's space again, like I was mentioning it with Jimmy Graham. I mean, our tight ends have the ability. A lot of the middle of the field area is tight end area, and we have a couple guys, and Zach being one of them that know how to get open in that area. Carson has done in these last couple of weeks done a really good job of trying to find those guys and understanding scheme and. Zach's done a good job of, again, finding those zones and then getting open in that area.
What's the process like of sitting down and trying to construct a game plan for against a defense like Seattle? What's that first meeting like? What's the
– Well, you know, I sit down. First thing I do is I want to see and kind of go through – you know, we do a three-game breakdown and then not only go through the breakdown, but the rest of the games for the season. I start with coverage and just want to see what types of coverages they're playing. You know, is it one high, two high, and then within that, is it man zone? And then just kind of get an idea and a feel for, you know, percentages that way. And then knowing that, taking our, who we consider playmakers on offense, and going, okay, how can we get this guy in this position, that position, and then – kind of come up with a game plan that way. See what carries over from the plan from Atlanta that we didn't use in that game. I think that's important to have carryover, that you're not reinventing the wheel every day. And then, you know, every offense or defensive coach is going to have a wrinkle or two in their game plan that to try to keep them off balance. But, you know, and then you look at their blitz package. Third downs become critical later in the week. You'll spend some time with the red zone, but you know, this group is fast. Obviously, they feed off of their crowd at home. They want you in third downs. They want you in third and longs, and that's where they get most of their hits on the quarterback in those situations. So, game planning, we got to be a little more specific in those areas and how we're going to attack and how we're going to, you know, handle that type of rush.
It's your running game. How is this defense different to run against than Atlanta's defense?
This group stunts and games and their fast flow. Their linebackers are downhill. Safeties are involved. It's still an 8-man box. You know, you're going to see 31 down around the box a lot. And he's an extremely big physical player. And that's what they do. And then they try to take that run game away from you. And they've been successful doing that. And then that's why they get you into those longer yard situations where you might have to throw the ball and then they get that pass rush after you. So it's a fast group, an aggressive group, a little more man coverage too than what we saw this past week.
Do you feel like your defense has come back the way you did against a very good football team? What kind of impact do you think that'll have on a young quarterback and this offense that had been struggling when you go to Seattle?
Well, it gives the guys confidence knowing that they were able to go finish a football game and against a good football team, number one. And it just shows a little sign of the maturity of some of our younger players in those situations, you know, giving the ball to Wendell and he stays in bounds in a 4-minute situation. And if we're going to throw the ball, you know, we're completing it. And guys, we're not turning the ball over in situations, and guys are learning from all the mistakes we made early in the season. They're learning from that, and it just gives you a little more confidence, gives you a little more, I think, stability, knowing when you get in those situations, you've learned how to handle it. Even from my standpoint, you know, managing the game that way, calling it, utilizing timeouts, and making sure we're doing things from a management standpoint, from my standpoint. Right in those situations.
90s, and do you feel like your defense deserves to be mentioned in that same breath as Seattle and the top defenses in the league?
I think so. If you look at the numbers, you know, defensively, it's one of the top defenses in the National Football League and not giving up many points. We should be mentioned. You know, sometimes you get overshadowed a lot by how your offense is performing, but that is by no means overshadowed anything that our defense has done in the first 9 weeks.
Carson has just 6 rushing first downs, Doug. Even on that 13-yard run the other day, he clearly preferred to keep looking downfield. Is there a fine line with a guy with his mobility as far as, you know, keeping his eyes downfield rather than taking those yards when they're open like that?
There is. I always talk to him about, you know, be a thrower first, but don't throw first and use your eyes in those situations. And you can scramble and still keep your eyes downfield. And if somebody pops, like Darren did against the Steelers, that type of thing, you know, you want to be able to make those plays as well. But, you know, he understands too that, and we understand that, hey, listen, anytime a team gives you some man coverage or void zones, and you got the ability to scramble, even if it's not for a first down, but it's picking up 5, 6, 7 yards and protect yourself, those are things that defenses get a little frustrated at when your quarterback is mobile that way.
In that 2012 draft, you scouted all the quarterbacks. Is Wilson a guy you spent time with, and what was your thoughts on that?
I did. I went to Wisconsin, worked him out, spent a day up there with him, and came away just saying, you know what, this guy's a special kid. Yeah, he's got it. You know, he's a pro's pro. He knows how to work. He knows how to practice. He knows how to lead. The things that you see on the field are also the things he does off the field. And he's a man of his word and integrity and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, when I came away feeling like, you know, if we didn't have an opportunity to take him, you know, somebody was going to have a special player.
What is your comfort level with Wendell in pass protection?
Good. He's getting better. You know, he's getting better. He hasn't been in there a ton on pass protection, but at the same time, he understands our protection schemes. We ask a lot of our backs. They visually have to scan a lot from side to side, and you know, you're going to have the occasional, you know, mishap and all that. But for the most part, he understands the protection. He knows he's in the right spot. You know, a lot of it comes down to just technique and being physical with either linebacker, safety, and sometimes even a defensive lineman. Thanks, guys.